Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Peter.
We're back, Mark.
We are very definitely back.
We were so far ahead, and then we sort of didn't record for a few weeks, and now we're not so far ahead.
This is going... we are recording this probably, what, 7 days before it goes out?
About as close as we've ever been. Yeah. I'm getting a bit anxious. My fingernails hurt.
We have never, ever been this close. This is bad preparation.
And but also, we're in the smaller studio as well we could possibly be in.
I'm really at a funny angle as well. I'm trying not to lean too closely. One good thing's come out of this.
Right.
It's time.
It's time.
To pay our respects to Vader.
Oh, Vader died today.
He passed away at 63. A huge star in WCW in the early 90s.
Yeah.
Didn't have a great WWF run, slightly because of internal politics with a gentleman we'll be talking about later in this WrestleMania. Shawn Michaels, who...
Okay.
This is the period where he begins his attempt to be the world's shittiest human being. And succeeds.
Yay!
I actually saw Vader's last ever match.
Did you?
Yeah, it was in York Hall in Bethnal Green for Revolution Pro Wrestling.
Ah.
He'd said some stuff on the internet about Will Ospreay,
about your dad,
flyer.
And I went down to kick his ass. 60-year-old ass.
I killed Vader. He is now being much too stiff up in heaven with my nana and my dog. And moaning, actually, about all the angels with their wings doing flying moves. That's what he hated.
What, he didn't like people doing flying moves?
He had a big thing in his later sort of retirement era,
right,
where he criticised...
Hang on, attitude era, retirement era, I like that.
Yeah, he very much went into retirement era. he did a big criticism of Will Ospreay, who is a young British high flyer, works
right.
in New Japan.
Yeah.
One of the great flyers of our time. Mm. Also, one of the great not-going-to-have-a-long-career wrestlers of our time.
Right, okay.
He's a man who certainly is willing to take risks with his neck that probably in any other circumstance
fly boy becomes cry boy very easily. I find
you should be working for the Daily Star. he just basically if you were hit by a car and you damaged your neck once, you'd go, well, that was a life-changing thing. Mm. He pretty much does it every other evening and he's sort of like getting on. But Vader had a big thing about a match he'd had with Ricochet.
Right.
Ricochet at the time was an independent wrestler. He's now in NXT. And okay. Vader hated the fact that they were doing gymnastics, and he said they didn't look like they were trying to win the match. They were just sort of showing off, and it made a mockery of wrestling.
Well, if you're wrestling with Vader, now I'm not massively familiar with Vader. I don't. He wasn't in a WrestleMania that I've seen yet, has he?
He will be coming up in some.
He'll be coming
up
in some.
He had a terrible WWF run.
He's a gigantic big man. He's a big man, isn't he?
Is,
so,
yeah.
Like, he ain't going to be doing any high flying. He is going to look a little bit more committed.
One of the few. He was one of the first really big guys, apart from Bam Bam Bigelow, who did the moonsault.
What's the moonsault?
The moonsault is where you do a backward somersault off the top turnbuckle and then you land on someone.
That's pretty high flying, isn't it?
It is. But, oh my God. His matches in Japan in the early 90s are fantastic.
Mm.
They are just astonishing. He's really sort of stiff. He had some incredible matches with Cactus Jack, Mick Foley in WCW.
Right.
And he was just a really, really... He was known for being stiff. So if you weren't with him, he'd beat you up quite badly. And that's why his matches looked great.
Because people were getting genuinely hurt.
But he did this one, and he must have been... It was 2 years ago, so he would have been about 60 or 61.
Yeah.
And he did this match at Revolution Pro. And he had, I mean, basically one... reason for doing it, and that was to beat Will Ospreay, the world's hottest wrestler.
Right.
He did it. He struggled so badly. You wanted to will him on and go, can he have one last hurrah? No, he was using the ropes to get up, and he was like a big baby toddler crawling around. It was a sad way to go out.
Yeah.
But it was even sadder that he refused to do a job. He wouldn't lose.
No.
So he ended up having to go over with Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay was furious about it, refused to, you know, you can look online, he really, really hated having to do that.
How did that match end then? So how did he refuses to go over, so then what happened?
Well, no, he refused to lose. So,
yes.
So Vader ends up doing some kind of shitty looking powerbomb. A thing that actually, even if you're quite old, it should be quite easy to do with someone as light as Will Ospreay. He couldn't do it. It was just it was such a fucking mess.
I liked his, I did like, from what I've seen from Vader, I liked his funny kind of Night King kind of, I don't know what you call it, like a hat.
He has with
shoulders built in.
It's a sort of mask, a big, huge plastic mask.
You don't see a lot of that.
Funnily enough, that gimmick with the big plastic mask in Japan was originally developed, I believe, for the Ultimate Warrior.
Is that right?
That they wanted to bring him over. That might be shit and misremembered.
Right.
But there was someone
that's
very
never stopped
big.
Us before.
No. All I do is, if people point out on Twitter, the easiest thing to do is just ignore it. I said, for example, that Tito Santana was the only wrestler who'd been in WrestleManias 1-9.
Yeah.
I forgot. It's such an easy mistake to make, because the only other person who's done it is a wrestler called Hulk Hogan. Don't know. Who that is.
That what I like about you, like, wake up in the middle of the night going, oh shit. Whereas I, very much like Will Ospreay, not really bothered about what happens on the ground.
We actually,
I'm very much like, what has a wrestler ever had two heads? That's what I'm concerned with.
We could actually do a very convincing Halloween costume of Will Ospreay and Vader. It would be really good. It would be excellent.
We'd have to shave you. Sorry, I mean, obviously you'd be Will Ospreay. I don't know what Will Ospreay looks like.
Don't hurt my neck. So sad news for Vader. I mean,
yes.
It's, again,
Vader.
Welcome. Well, it's very sad news for Vader. He's no longer alive, and he'll be missing this podcast.
Yeah.
Now he's dead, it's worth saying this was one of his favourite podcasts, and he never missed an episode.
That's exactly what he said. That's why we've already just mentioned him. Because it would have been gauche
absolutely
to mention it otherwise.
Absolutely. And if any of his family are listening, I mean, don't sue us. That was just a bit of fun.
It's not worth it, is it?
Come on, you've got other things to worry about.
I know, you got to bury your dad. Right, anyway.
So big as well.
We went to some wrestling.
Yes,
together.
We did.
We hang out socially sometimes.
Yes, we went to see Ring of Honor at Crystal Palace.
It was really good.
Wasn't it?
I was the only man dressed not in a black t-shirt.
I know.
I was the only man dressed in a linen jacket, and I was the only man drinking wine, red wine all day.
That was a weird choice of drink, because it was a very hot sports centre.
Very hot sports centre. By the end of the show, I lost my sunglasses because I'd done a forward roll because I got so excited because of the wrestling. And I also lost my bank card as well.
Oh, did you?
So, because I was, as we came out, we were so excited by the wrestling. Exactly what you think kids might do after they've been to the wrestling.
Yeah.
I did a forward roll, lost my spectacles and also my credit card.
Oh, that's a nightmare. I got told off for being sexist.
Oh, well, that guy behind us. That guy was being such a dick.
I know.
He didn't like you vaping either.
No, he didn't. And no. I thought, because he was so right on, I thought he'd be like, well, vaping, that's very much in my wheelhouse. what are you vaping there, dude? But no.
But the sexism came from the fact that I said, oh, wow, Bradley Rodgers really beautiful.
I said, oh, well, we follow her on Twitter. I said, you know, there are some snaps there where she's even more beautiful.
we are disgusting.
I mean,
thinking
that
about.
wasn't that sexist.
No.
Saying she was beautiful.
She was beautiful. And her shoulder.
The chap behind me began going, I think it's, didn't like tap, just joined in. Stop earwigging, mate, eh? B, don't be a knob.
And also, he's paid his money to see one of the Briscoe brothers, who is notably almost violently homophobic.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
I think the Briscoe brothers, I only saw one of them wrestle.
Yep.
I think he is the most frightening man. You talk about the guys that can pop people's eyes in WWE in the 80s and the 90s.
Yeah.
I think that man is disgusting and big, and he frightens me, and he probably would be able to run a combine harvester over me.
I agree. He is in outside wrestling. Mm. His family own a huge chicken, I say farm. It's not really a farm, is it? It's one of those things where they get big enough
chickens.
And then they just murdered. And he's a bit like Leatherface from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. He shambles and he sort of
greasy
sways.
Hair,
and
kind of half dreads, half. Yeah. And his eyes.
They're really frightening. And, man, so. And the guy behind, he just sort of did that thing of talking so that you can hear. He was notably on his own because, I mean, why would you be friends with him? he just said, I think it's actually very disappointing in this day and age, the casual sexism that some wrestling fans display. And I thought, well, no, it's not casual sexism, but I did have that thing of going, God, he wouldn't like me either because I'm the sort of bloke who, I really wanted to pull his eye out. Terrible.
We had fun though. It was, you know what? It was, I got a bit sad because I drank a lot of wine.
Yeah.
When Cody Rhodes came out because his dad's not with us anymore.
No,
I really liked his dad. And,
yeah.
And I'm experiencing his father for the first time. And then I go and see him wrestle. And it's like, oh.
Yeah.
But then I liked it when everyone was shouting, are you in and all that?
Yeah,
like,
all
are
in.
You all in?
They're
are
big,
you all in?
Big. Do you know what? There is a funny thing. We've been doing this podcast for a while now,
yes.
And people do like this podcast. You know, we're really appreciative of that. Mm. And one of the things I've noticed over the last couple of months is they've been doing this slight thing where they're having a fan thing before this great big show called All In,
right?
And they're announcing which podcasts are being recorded sort of the day before as part of this big fan thing.
Okay.
And I really watched that, and I thought, I hope Pete's hiding this from me. I hope we're going to Chicago to do an episode of this.
Yeah. I've been to Chicago before. We could pretend we were there.
We could just sit outside and do it. Yeah, that way Vader's family can finally track us down and
they'll know exactly where we are and where we're recording. But it was good. And I have only ever seen a couple of wrestling matches live. This one, I was a lot closer and it was a lot quieter at times.
Mm.
And good Christ, that looks like it's painful.
Oh,
in every,
doesn't it?
Every bump, every fall onto the mat. Oh, my word.
It
looks horrible.
Only when you're that close do you really sort of go, yeah, this is a proper thing, isn't it? I think it's easy to watch someone like the WrestleManias and go, well, if I was told what I had to do, I could probably fudge my way through this and no one would know. And you watch that and you go, gosh, every single bit of it looks impossibly difficult.
It's just, why is nobody just going, I'm winded. I'm just always being winded. How can I stop this?
Imagine someone says to you, you have to get on the floor and get up for 20 minutes. Then you just to do that and there'll be someone who's dancing around you who's going to be hitting you and you have to flop around. And it's just the hardest thing in the world. I was really pleased. I watched the stream of that event on Ring of Honor.
Because they were sort of broadcasting it live, weren't they? Which is very exciting.
Yeah, and I mean, streaming services have made all these things. You know, there's an extra revenue stream when you come to the UK that there wasn't before. And so you can go and see things like Ring of Honor in quite a small venue because they can make it pay in other ways.
Right.
And I was very pleased that the one shot of the two of us in the back of shot was during a match with Tennille Dashwood where she really fucks up something and she does a sort of double stamp and everyone sort of just flops over and you can see the two of us suddenly lean into each other and titter. Wrestle me.
Yes.
Yeah, being rude to wrestlers since we began. But actually, weirdly, as we start WrestleMania 10, I don't think we're going to be that rude about the wrestlers.
What do you mean? As in,
it's a really good WrestleMania.
It's a really good WrestleMania. It certainly starts very well.
Doesn't it, just?
The only disappointment in the wrestling, I think, it's very short again.
Yep.
There's very little fat, massively trimmed back.
Yep.
The only thing that sucks is the fact that Vincent Mann's on commentary. I didn't enjoy him in the bit at all.
I know. I was actually having a look as to why this had happened because if you remember, last WrestleMania,
he was just not involved, was he? He just wasn't asked.
No. And WrestleMania 9, they have Jim Ross.
Yes.
They bring Jim Ross over from WCW and he gives it a sort of more of a sports feel.
Mm.
And what happened before this WrestleMania is Vince basically really wanted Jim Ross to start wearing a cowboy hat and being like a character.
Okay.
And Jim Ross fought this really hard. Mm. And then a month before WrestleMania, he got Bell's palsy, which is a paralysis of the face.
The face, yeah.
He's had a recurring bout of this ever since, really.
Right.
And so they fired him.
Right, I didn't see that one coming. I mean,
So they just kicked him out. And so Vince stepped in and... Vince at this time, again, fucking we've hell. Talked about this on the previous things. Vince has pretty much found out about 3 months ago that the initial investigations done by this grand jury into whether he is distributing steroids and can be done for conspiracy, they've decided they're going to go ahead with a case.
Okay, so he's in all kinds of great moods.
Yep, so he knows that in 2 months or so, he is going to be facing a trial that carries a hefty prison sentence if he's found guilty.
Oh, dear.
It's a funny one because what he's done here is this WrestleMania is also about they've stripped out everyone on steroids.
Yes. Okay.
Everyone looks pretty lean and tight and fast, and all the big muscle men have gone.
Yeah.
And what that means is you get people who can wrestle.
Yeah. So it was really good. I mean, because Vince starts the whole show. It's Madison Square Gardens. It's a lot more intimate. It's not like last time. It was
Caesar's Palace
under the sky.
Yeah.
It was the world's biggest toga party, etc.
Yeah,
it is more intimate.
There's 18,000 people. It's also the site of the first WrestleMania. So they've returned there after 10 years.
Ah.
And this is really one of the first times in WWF where they begin saying, we actually have a history and a heritage.
Yeah.
They've always been really funny about the heritage of the sport until this point.
Mm.
And then they start going, maybe it's okay to show some of the old WrestleManias and celebrate it a bit. And they coin this phrase, WrestleMania moments, which you then hear throughout WrestleMania's history.
Yeah.
But one of the things they do really, really clearly is all of the moments they show, none of them have Hulk Hogan in.
Right, okay.
Hulk Hogan, they know, is going to be brought up in this trial.
Mm.
And there's every chance that if he says, Vince McMahon supplied me with steroids, that Vince is going to go away. So they are distancing themselves from Hulk Hogan in every conceivable way. They show a couple of tiny clips of him in a package about Yokozuna, but he's just being squashed and you barely see his face. Mm. But so all their great WrestleMania moments are non-Hulk Hogan.
Isn't that weird?
Moments.
Because he was WrestleMania for the whole thing,
he's the main event in every WrestleMania.
How do they hide
apart
him
from four?
Yeah,
you know, number four. But then they just have to get rid of him. And it's a funny thing, they begin celebrating their history with the 10th year anniversary thing at a time when they don't want to talk about a big part of their history, which is all the big lads who are illegally on steroids.
Well, they between every match, pretty much, isn't it? There's a clip of like starting at one and ending at nine. What was happening in each one? So there's a bit of Andre the Giant, bit of you don't see a lot of Roddy Piper, to be honest. How soon to recall, isn't it?
No. It's quite funny. Roddy Piper does make a surprise appearance here as the referee, and earlier, so last year in 1993, he's actually been in the Dr. Zahorian trial, which starts all this big steroids case against Vince McMahon. And Roddy Piper is one of the people who ends up having to be on the witness box, and he admits he got steroids from Dr. Zahorian.
Okay.
He does a weird performance where he's slightly out of it, and it's a funny thing where instead of going, he's admitted taking steroids, I'm facing this grand jury, Vince McMahon brings him back in. And it's a funny thing, Vince McMahon over the years has fallen out or had problems with so many wrestlers, and he always ends up bringing them back, apart from Macho Man Randy Savage. That one is never brought back.
No.
Until after he dies, they can then celebrate him again. But for some reason, Vince has a personal thing with Randy that he never can bring him back.
Something we edit out of the show.
Well, you have to. Because if the rumours are to be believed, it can only end with us losing a lot of money and possessions.
But we might get invited to the All In party, because that's very much not part of it.
It's the nicest thing I think about that WrestleMania memories thing is it's voiced over by Gorilla.
Yes,
I love to hear Gorilla Monsoon. He's back.
So since we did the last episode, Bobby the Brain Heenan, I didn't realise how he died.
Yeah.
And the pictures of him and also Lord Alfred Hayes. I was obsessed with Lord Alfred Hayes, customised Lord Alfred Hayes figures that people have made. So there's about three or four people who have had a crack at it.
Yeah.
Each one inaccurate in every way, but if you sort of combine them together, it would look all right.
Yeah.
And also, Bobby the Brain Heenan's months from death kind of pictures.
Yeah, he
was such a big guy.
Cancer of the throat or jaw, and then I think both.
And they just sort of got rid of most of his face.
They were taking out as much bone as they could.
Mm.
And it was really sad that someone who really made their living as well by being so eloquent, he was robbed of his ability to speak.
And I was and because I'm experiencing these people for the first time, and I'm like, sort of like, they're very much part of my weekly life. To see those pictures, I was like, oh, yeah. Cancer, I know cancer's an absolute, you know, C word, but oh, Jesus, absolutely. That is obscene.
Worth pointing out as well that with the glossing of the Ultimate Warrior after his death, he said some horrible things about Bobby Heenan deserving cancer.
Okay,
you see the photos of Bobby Heenan, A, no one deserves that. Who does?
Yeah.
And B, what a horrible, ironic place for it to attack someone who was so good at talking and so good on the mic. And you see those photographs. And the other thing about him, of course, is the life of a wrestler, quite a lot of it when you retire, you have no income stream. So what you do is you end up going to conventions. And seeing him at those conventions with that that face, which is halved by the surgeries he's had to try and stop that cancer, it must have been a very... Or it must have been awful for him to see people approach and be visibly startled by how he looked.
But having to do it simply because, you know...
That's how you make your money.
Yeah, and you don't have any health insurance because of the job that you've had for the last so however many years.
And you live in a country where you know, medicine is extremely expensive.
Yeah.
Horrible. Yep. Absolutely horrible.
Yeah, sorry for bringing that up, but it was just something that I experienced in the last couple of weeks that made me go, oh, I was... very much in the headspace that he would, you know, died like every other wrestler in a car crash.
One of the things to remember, Pete, is that every story in wrestling is ultimately deeply sad.
Oh, dear. So Vincent McMahon starts this show with his dreadful, dreadful...
Screaming, God, I come to New York City!
Like, and then he goes back to a normal voice when he's doing his commentary. He's not very good at calling things, I think.
No, he isn't. I think he has a thing as well. Tell the story, don't explain the moves.
Yes.
Which is a very Vince McMahon thing.
Okay.
Even today, he sits there at the back with a talk back to the commentators. And sometimes you hear them say stuff that sounds crap. And usually that's a Vince line that they have to use. He's very keen on tell them the story and the passion, but I don't care about the moves.
Right.
And actually, it's nice to hear the moves. It makes it seem like sport. The other thing, just to explain here, when you brought up Heenan as well, why is Heenan not there? WCW, the big competitors, are suddenly beginning to pick up a bit of speed. They've had a terrible 1993. They've lost $28 million that year. And Ted Turner, who is the owner of WCW and a huge amount of channels, TV channels, he begins taking more of an interest in WCW. And I think he sees Vince on the ropes with this trial. And says, if Vince goes under, we're going to be able to take over.
Yeah.
So Ted Turner begins opening a checkbook. And with a guy called Eric Bischoff, who was a commentator and becomes more of a sort of booker, he begins building WCW.
Right.
So Ric Flair leaves the WWF because he's been moved out of the main event position.
Okay.
And he and Vince had an agreement that if he ever felt like he wasn't in the big matches, he was free to go. So Vince lets Ric Flair go back to WCW.
Okay.
Bobby Heenan gets fired because he's too old really to be on screen, is Vince's idea. He goes to WCW. They begin picking up a mix of ex-WWF performers and newer people who are raw and who are good. So people like Stunning Steve Austin, who later, of course, becomes the industry's biggest star of all time.
Okay.
They've got a good mix of people. And what happens is, because Hogan is on the skids with WWF, they begin thinking, maybe we could get Hogan. And if we can get Hogan, this could be a game changer.
Wow.
So they have their 1994 is a transitionary year. But in the middle of the year, so after WrestleMania, they do get Hogan. And this year they break even. And then in 1995 onwards, they go stratospherically big.
Isn't that incredible, though? Like, kind of, because if you take Hogan, you're not necessarily taking his baggage, because his baggage is so... it's WWF, isn't it? It's Vince McMahon. So you're like, when you take him, you're almost taking a clean product.
There was a funny thing, which we don't have anymore,
unlike
which is
the steroids that they
jumping between WCW and WWF was a really exciting thing. So someone like Jake Roberts, who could be slightly, he'd come to the end of his run in WWF. When he went to WCW, he became the hottest heel in the world.
Yeah.
And so just that jump could freshen someone up. And it did it with Hogan. Hogan really moved the needle in 94 when he jumped. They all thought in the WWF he was damaged, he was over, people wanted to move on. This whole era is called the New Generation. era. They really sort of went, it's Bret Hart, it's Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
What they didn't realise is that wrestling is all about characters, and there's always a lot of mileage in characters, even if they aren't fresh.
Yeah.
The other big name who was thinking of jumping to WCW at this time was Shawn Michaels, who in 1993, and we'll talk about this in the ladder match, but he failed a steroid test.
Right.
He's always claimed that he didn't take steroids on that occasion. He says he's done it before. It's a funny lie to maintain if you admit to doing everything else, but just that time you say, no, I got caught and I shouldn't have been. But he was very, very close to going to WCW in late 93. Okay. Had he done that, that would have been a very interesting thing, because the WWF would have lost one of their key players for the next 5 years.
I mean, it is one of those sort of jokey sort of things where we all sort of go, oh, look, you know, the WWF at this moment is very is cleaning up its act, etc., etc. Like, these guys are still gigantic men who can't get that big without help. It's just one of those things, you just can't get that big.
The other thing that happens here is they do, some of them take stop taking steroids, but what happens is they all start taking the same amount or more of recreational drugs.
Right.
So pills in this era. This is really why the mid-90s, there are so many dead young wrestlers. And it's all to do with painkillers and somas and Nubane and things like that, where everyone is just popping these pills to get buzzed, to get sort of mellow, to come down, to go up and everything. And so people are still dying.
Right.
They've taken away the steroids, but they're taking something else, which is also equally it's fucking terrible.
Jesus.
It would have been a great time to be in it.
Oh, the sing song is Little Richard.
Oh.
Speaking of changing your body for with doctor's help.
He lip syncs this.
Yeah.
Because there are a whole load. He does a sort of jazzed up version of America the Beautiful.
Yeah.
And he obviously doesn't quite remember how he jazzed it up when he recorded it. And there are some bits where his mouth goes in a different direction to what the song is doing and his eyes go wide. He really goes, ah.
Yeah.
This is like a nightmare.
Well, I thought he wasn't lip syncing it, because the WrestleMania of the past have always been Mike's not working.
Yeah.
Mike's looking a little bit out of sync. I always just think, oh, they just recorded it wrong. Isn't that great that I will give Vince McMahon the benefit of the doubt for being shit rather than Little Richard doing some...
There's a really good bit where he really noodles in the song and it starts going, face, guy. And he just goes, I'm fucked on this. And he goes, I'm just going to put my hand over my mouth. I won't see it. Done. Safe now.
Because the whole ring is surrounded by like gospel singers, aren't they?
Yeah.
I liked in the middle of this performance is, though, someone's got a sign up, a big, big sign, just saying, thanks, Kev. That's it. That's all it says. Thanks, Kev.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that. you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Talking of Kev, which is a very white name, for New York in 1994, I didn't see a single person of anything other than straight hetero whiteness in the crowd.
There was quite a lot of Asian Americans, I seem to recall, at the start.
Uh-huh.
But then they disappear and I don't know what happened.
They all come together to form Yokozuna.
They run at each other really fast.
They get interviewed like at WrestleMania 9 by a racist Todd Bettengill.
Oh, God. He doesn't appear at any point, does he? I can't remember.
Yes, he does those little segments with Donald Trump.
Oh, not Donald Trump.
He does those segments with Bill Clinton.
He does, yeah. He's quite reserved, though, this time around. I remember he's been taught to shit his fat mouth. But he, I did like the way that this whole started, because it actually starts, the way that Little Richard has jazzed this up is that he's very reserved and very quiet. You know, he almost whispers his way through the first few bars.
Yeah.
And it's like a weird dream. Like a weird wrestling-based dream where Little Richard's thought of going.
And he's sort of waxy as well.
Oh, he looks waxy.
And it just, if you the crowd and you just had him creeping through a field, that's the most frightening thing I've ever seen in my life. He was really disgusting.
And then one of the Briscoe brothers turns up and runs him over with a tractor.
They begin just kissing or... God, repulsive.
I hate the Briscoe brothers.
You really do hate the Briscoe brothers.
One of the first wrestlers I've seen in real life where I've went, that's horrible. I don't want to see that again. That's disgusting. He's horrible. Frightening. Threatening.
Their gimmick isn't even being disgusting or threatening. It's just there's something about them. You go, oh, really horrible.
Who are the two little chaps who were like, they're a bit twinky.
The boys.
The boys.
So Dalton Castle's The Boys.
The Boys.
The Boys.
They're definitely fucking, aren't they? those guys are definitely having a little kiss after them. The Boys.
No, they don't. The Briscoes do. with their soft brown teeth.
Looks like we're going to have some kissing.
the sound of all the chickens being murdered.
Oh, I really enjoyed that show. I want to see Ring of Honor again, or whoever's involved in that. It was a nice mix of mad shit. And good shit.
I totally off topic. Well, I don't want to say off topic. It's fucking wrestling, so I mean, it couldn't really be more on topic. The podcast called Wrestle Me. I went to see NXT last night. And big thing they've done now is say we're going to start NXT UK.
Oh, so this was the one at was it Albert Hall?
It was, yeah. Right. So I went to the second night, and it was phenomenally good.
Right,
a mix of the NXT stars and UK stars.
Okay,
some of whom are already in NXT, but all of them have signed WWE contracts. And part of this is something really interesting, which I haven't really seen people talking about, and I'm a bit surprised. But in the 80s, Vince McMahon with WWF decided to go national, and he began buying up all the territories. And basically, he got all the stars, and you couldn't really compete against him because he had all the big names. And that's what they're doing in the UK. So for the last few years, the UK has had a real resurgence in wrestling. We've got people like Progress and Rev Pro and IPW doing really, really well. By signing WWE contracts, the talent has been told you can only wrestle for us and the people that we work with. Mm. So some of the federations, like Progress, have signed a deal with the WWE to work together. Others, like RevPro, have decided not to. And they haven't signed that deal because RevPro, for example, they deal very closely with New Japan. And WWE have said you can't have both. You can't work with New Japan and us.
Yeah.
So RevPro are now... Absolutely, all the talent that they've used for a lot of the years, about 50% of it, all the homegrown talent, can't wrestle for them.
Okay.
So there's a bit of a sort of hostile takeover. Mm. This is happening because ITV have announced they're going to be doing a World of Sport show.
Yeah.
So WWE have now gone, well, this is a market we need to dominate and we need to take. So it's being portrayed as being, isn't this an exciting time to be in British wrestling? It is. It's not an exciting time to be a British wrestling promoter because suddenly all the people that you could have used can no longer use.
Yeah. Right.
So you've basically lost probably the top, 30 British wrestlers in the country are just now out of your reach.
Right, okay.
So it's going to be an interesting thing to see what happens, to see whether this will encourage wrestling in Britain or whether it will slightly strangle it. I must admit, I'm a little bit worried.
Okay.
A little bit worried about it. So, just wanted to have a little go at that. The NXT show was really good. £75 a ticket.
Bloody hell.
I know.
The Albert Hall. How big is the Albert Hall?
It's about 3,000 people, I think.
Yes. Oh, well, I guess it's not that many.
And it was... the second night was pretty busy. They scheduled the first one, the first night, it was the Monday, which was England-Tunisia.
Right.
And that really thumped them. That was a proper bit of Americans not understanding the importance of that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or if they even knew before they'd booked it in advance. You know, who knows? But it's an astonishing place to see wrestling. It's absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Really good room to do it. The crowd was astonishingly into it. But then you would be, because everyone comes in pairs. It's either you and your wife or you and your friend, you and your girlfriend. And that's £150 plus booking fee.
Yeah, I'd be into it for that.
Oh, you bloody better be, you know. Jesus, imagine going, go ahead, not my cup of tea. You know, we're two matches in, there's £75 down. I've just got you a bottle of Heineken that's £4.50. You better enjoy this.
What were the wine options, Mark? That's what I want to know. Jerry the King Lawler.
Yes.
He turns up and in WrestleMania 10, and he delivers two gags with his boss.
Yep.
And he's clearly worried, and because he's having to work with his boss, like the big cheese, the only game in town. And he fucks two gags in rapid succession. It's beautiful. It's a masterclass in
that
being
first
shit.
One. What I want to know is that Little Richard's real voice or is his under?
The thing is, he didn't even sing that high, Little Richard.
Nope.
So that gag was pre-written and he fucked it. Absolutely fucked it.
I tell you what, I mean, Jerry Lawler, with this thing, he is feeling bulletproof at this point.
Right.
Because he's just had a hiatus from the WWF because he's been charged with the statutory rape of a 15-year-old girl in 1993.
Super.
And he isn't fired. And he takes on the case and it
well
is.
He is the law, Lisa, in many ways.
He's always been a bit of a polarizing figure because he in the attitude
he's accused of statutory rape.
Yes. I mean it is weird. There's a very good sort of a summary of it done recently by Deadspin. They actually applied to get the papers from the case earlier this year, and they were given 228 pages of documents. In them, Jerry Lawler sent the prosecutors a letter sort of saying, I feel if you did a background search on me, you'd find I've always tried to treat people with respect, from the smallest of the wrestling fans to the mayors and senators, and I think they in turn would tell you my word is good. Good dropping there of the fact he knows mayors and senators. Interesting. But he then talks about the victims. There were two of them. They were both underage. They were, I think, 15 and 14.
Right.
And they claimed that he'd been in a hotel room with them, and he had stripped naked, and they had been very reluctant. He had put cartoons on, and then ultimately the two of them had performed oral sex on him.
Mm.
He always denied this. The charges ended up being dropped after one of the girls admitted that she fabricated some of her story.
Mm.
There are also these affidavits from people who supported Lawler on this. One of them said that he talked to one of the girls at the wrestling in Memphis, and she had said that she was going to sort of essentially blackmail him. There are questions, obviously, about the wisdom of Jerry Lawler taking two underage girls into a hotel room, which is something that is not questioned.
Yeah.
What happened in there, who knows?
Why are you in a hotel room with two underage girls?
I mean, this again, had this happened now, and you can see with the case of Enzo Amore, who was a wrestler who earlier this year was fired from the company because he was actually at the centre of an allegation of rape, which was subsequently dropped, but he hadn't informed the company about his status. He was immediately fired. Now, Lawler, the case itself, he ended up pleading guilty to a charge of harassing a witness who was an unrelated woman within the case. But the sex crime charges were both dismissed. You can tell in the way that I'm speaking, I'm looking at these words here to try and make sure I exactly get this right. Deadspin say, as for the issue of whether or not the girls recanted their story, a retired Louisville detective, Mike Redmond, who worked the case, told Deadspin they never did. Instead, they refused to testify against Lawler, with the detective's interpretation of the decision being that the girl didn't want the king to get into trouble.
Right.
One of Lawler's attorneys cited the girl's reluctance to testify as a factor in this deal being brought so the charges could be dismissed.
Right.
What this is, in legal terms, is this is an exoneration which, I think, when you look at the case, has certain codicils.
Yes.
Now, it's always been one of those things with Jerry Lawler that slightly haunted him. As it fucking should. So when Lawler is fluffing jokes, he must be thinking, well, if he didn't get me rid of me for the last thing, I shouldn't think he'll get rid of me for botching this fucking joke. It's a strange one. I actually did a thing on the WrestleMe Twitter, just showing Donald Trump a fortnight's worth of wrestlers that he posed with. And one of them was Jerry Lawler. And I actually thought to myself, this is the sort of thing that Lawler will retweet. And if he retweets it, then we can sort of go, as liked by Jerry Lawler. But what happened was one of our listeners, whose name I don't have in front of me, who was very funny. I said that like he wasn't. He was. I'd said something along the lines of 10 out of 10 for Donald and Jerry's teeth and tan trying to get Lawler involved. And they went, and also 10 out of 10 for failing to effectively question 10 out of 10 also for failing to effectively answer numerous sexual impropriety allegations. Zingo. Zingo.
You tried to lure him into a room,
the internet chat room equivalent of a hotel room.
Yes.
Where I would essentially strip naked.
Let's not get further into this. Put simply, men are dreadful in every walk of life, but it seems mainly in professional wrestling.
Yeah. Hashtag kings of cunt.
You can actually use that, and that's fine. That's our next. That's next to She's Been Daughter t-shirt idea. Kings of cunt.
I've got a new t-shirt idea that you're gonna love.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. There's a big t-shirt that you see quite a lot of the places now, which just says on it, "I'm a Paul Heyman guy."
I'm a Paul Heyman guy. Who's Paul Heyman?
So Paul Heyman is a manager of Brock Lesnar, and he also had at some point, different points, Cesaro and CM
Punk. I like Cesaro.
And so there was a sense of he only took on guys who everybody liked.
Right.
So that thing, people had the t-shirt that said, "I'm a Paul Heyman guy."
Okay.
Like your Punk, like your Brock Lesnar and everything. Now, maybe I shouldn't say, because maybe someone will steal this brilliant money-making idea. But it is the first t-shirt that I want us to do is I am a Lord Alfred Hayes guy.
Yay!
With a picture of him on the back with his dick out.
With his dick out, chasing around. Roddy!
I worked on some t-shirt ideas, and I would say 85% of them are Lord Alfred Hayes based.
Why? Again, I ask this question a lot. I'm coming to wrestling late.
Mm.
Why isn't everybody just talking about Lord Alfred Hayes all the time? Because he's the thing I think about the most, and the fact that he's not in it anymore means that this will be the last episode of this podcast.
Do you know what the last episode of this podcast will be? It'll be
Jerry the Killing King Lawler.
It'll be this one. I've actually had a look to
find out.
You
missing the Deadspin redaction.
It will be us. I had a look at this. I found out where Alfred Hayes is buried.
Right.
And what I want
exhume
to do,
that man. Exhume the bones of Lord Alfred Hayes. See if we can fucking work a mic any better.
He's no worse at commentary, ladies and gentlemen. Man, oh God, wouldn't that be a brilliant end? This whole thing is
two
just
men getting arrested for
exhuming Lord Alfred Hayes to make a working Alfred Hayes marionette. And our big excuse as to why we've done it is to say they never made a genuine official action figure of him. Well, we've got it now.
Oh, no.
A bleak section, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. Should we talk about the dark match?
Yes, let's do that.
Yeah. The Heavenly Bodies versus the Bushwhackers. The Bushwhackers, I think, for the second time, have been involved in a dark match.
Best because, place for
unlike, unlikable fish-obsessed horrors.
One of those acts, very popular with the kids and everything, but, again, you don't want to see them wrestle.
No.
The Heavenly Bodies were a really, really good tag team.
Okay.
Again, in this period where everyone is terrified of steroids, this smaller wrestlers are coming through. And the Heavenly Bodies were a guy called Dr. Tom Pritchard, who'd been around the scenes for 10 years or so. And he was acclaimed as a wrestler, but he was small. I think he was well under 6 foot.
Right.
And he was teamed with a guy called Jimmy Del Rey. His name is Gigolo Jimmy Del Rey. He was called Gigolo, not because he was a male escort or handsome. He had a little pot belly. And right. So when he moved, it used to jiggle.
The Gigolo.
So called him Gigolo. Yeah, it's really sweet. Yeah. But they were really, really good. They were two small guys. They were fast and they were really, really good wrestlers. Mm. They had some really good matches with the Steiners, I think, at the next SummerSlam.
Right.
And they brought back a classic 80s team called the Rock and Roll Express, who then did some matches with the Heavenly Bodies. But the Heavenly Bodies are really, really always worth watching.
Mm.
Jimmy Del Rey had a not much of a career really after this. He was an independent guy, but he did the thing that all classic wrestlers do, which is he died behind the wheel of a truck. This time he was driving a truck and had a heart attack in, I think, 2014.
Yeah,
I think it was.
You rarely die in charge of a truck.
Yes,
you usually don't get hit by one, I guess.
Yeah. But it meant he had a job as well, which is nice. He finally got out of the business and then died.
Well,
poor old Jimmy.
That'll teach Jimmy. Never mind,
won't it? And then we start it proper.
Mm.
What's interesting about this, they had the first time, I think, last Royal Rumble, leading up to WrestleMania 9, Yokozuna won and they gave him the title belt. The title shot, rather. So they've set up this thing now where the winner of the Royal Rumble in January gets to go to WrestleMania for the belt.
Right.
And they did it really well this year where they had Bret Hart and Lex Luger as the final two and they fall out of the ring at the same time they land.
Okay.
So it's who has won, how do we know?
Right.
And what they were going to do is they do a coin toss and if Luger wins, he gets to fight Yokozuna first.
Mm.
And if Bret Hart wins, he gets to fight Yokozuna first.
Right.
In the end, Bret Hart loses and faces Owen Hart. Had Lex Luger lost, he would have faced Crush, I think it was.
Mm.
And then they go on. So what happens here is we all thought that the WrestleMania 10 main event would end up being Lex Luger versus Bret Hart.
Yes.
That was a match you wanted to see.
Yeah.
The idea that Yokozuna would be able to wrestle two matches in one night when he is... he looks like Jabba the Hutt.
Have you... I think it's made very clear, even in the back end of the first match, that he shouldn't be doing that, and I wish he hadn't done that.
Yeah. So they have this thing where they both won the Royal Rumble. Who is it? And what they notice is that when the referees say, no, Bret Hart's won it, the crowd really cheer. And when they go, no, Lex has won it, the crowd don't cheer as much.
Yeah.
And so in that moment, they begin going, right, what's happening here?
Okay.
They've spent 8 months building up Lex Luger to be the next Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And it's running out of steam. It's just really not working. And Bret Hart has been on a tear. He's getting better and better, reactions. His matches are great.
Mm.
And you can see in Lex Luger's eyes in the whole of this that he knows his moment is passing and it's a killer.
Mm.
The other rumor is that he was going to be given the belt at the end.
Right.
And he apparently told a New York paper that he was going to be the champion. And as soon as they got wind of it, they just went, right, fuck you. And he never, ever became the WWF champion.
This is like Matthew Letizia's brother.
Is it?
When Matt Letizia's brother told the newspaper that Matt Letizia was going to get his debut for England.
Really?
And he never got given it in the end because of that.
Really? Isn't that mental, though?
Yeah, that is
Why
mad.
Do you care? Let us damage the prospects of the national team because someone's brother has got loosey lips. Crazy. Yeah. Crazy.
I heard that Lex Luger had too much high copro, which is a theme and a trope that's just... Everyone keeps talking or tweeting at us about high copro, and I can't get enough of it and I want some.
I saw someone talking about it online that they tried some, that they had some, and it was old. And they were old like, they were like just, it's like ground up mushrooms or something. Weird sort of, you know. Man, I'd like a big tub of that.
There's a man online who on YouTube who I featured on like a different podcast, but he basically his whole thing is eating old rations.
Great.
He just gets like he eats like Civil War rations, just really? Like hard tack, and he's like. It's like mothballs.
He should actually go to my mum's house because he'd find some stuff there that's, let me tell you, from the fucking 80s.
Right in the back of the cupboard.
Oh, right at the front. I mean, the stuff at the back. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but it's... I was about to say, all the tins are sitting in rocking chairs. But I was thinking, I mean, that's just a mad image.
That's a brilliant image. I'm enjoying it immensely.
Yeah, they're all in rocking chairs. So, we get our first match. We're only 46 minutes or so in, so we've done quite well. And it's Bret Hart versus his brother Owen Hart.
Yeah.
But this is, I mean, probably the greatest opening match of any pay-per-view in history.
Oh, it was... They were so good. Yeah. Like, again, I'm new to this, but it starts fun, and they're throwing each other around, and they're not counted as high flyers, because they're really rolling around the gaff.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Owen was, at the time, a big high flyer, but I think, you know, it's a time when high flying wasn't quite what it was. Mm. This is such a good piece of storytelling, and they come into this, Owen has always been an underachiever because of his size. They've always sort of gone, he's never going to be big, and Bret Hart really pushed for this. Bret Hart's got a lot of power at this time, and he says, you know, funnily enough, I mean, Vince McMahon, when they first suggest doing this brother versus brother, Vince had picked a different Hart brother to be in the Owen role, which was Bruce Hart, who was an older brother, a guy who never really sort of achieved anything like these two younger brothers. Mm. And Owen is so good in this. He plays this brother who is being sort of held down by his older brother, who is furious he's not getting his chance to shine. And this match is fantastic.
Yeah.
There are some moves in there. He hits at one point a jumping tombstone, which is just so, it's so out of nowhere. You just don't expect huge moves like that.
Mm.
And they work together, as you'd expect for people who have probably been, certainly in Owen's case, wrestling Bret Hart all his life.
Yeah.
It is just a thing of beauty.
And it gets given the space it needs, 20 minutes. Yeah. It's a long old match, but it doesn't feel like it. It whips it across.
What's funny is that because they knew they were having this WrestleMania match, they wanted it to be, because obviously it's the family thing as well, and they're going, this is Owen's big moment.
Yeah.
They wanted it to be spectacularly good. They originally based it on the Macho Man Randy Savage and Ricky Steamboat match at WrestleMania 3. So they'd done a match that had loads and loads of really close pinfalls and kickouts at the last minute. And they tried it in the house show circuit in the months running up, and they'd found that everybody was cheering Owen because he was the underdog, and they were beginning to get into it. So they worked out a different type of match where there aren't many close falls. The person who actually sort of really laid it out was Bret Hart and Owen Hart's dad, Stu Hart, who was an old wrestler. And it's just a really, really exciting, the crowd are so invested in it.
Yeah.
There's a couple of weird little bits as well there. So Owen at one point gets Bret Hart's finishing move, the sharpshooter, on him, and Bret Hart start banging the mat. And nowadays that's tapping out.
Yeah.
But tapping out didn't really become a thing you did until after UFC had become big, because that was the way they submitted. In the old days, you used to have to go, I quit. And so seeing Bret Hart tapping out in that thing and it just carrying on, it's a weird thing in retrospect. There's only one thing about the match that ruins it.
Is it when his glasses get torn up?
No.
But at the start, or when they put the specs on the little kid and the specs are too big for the kid.
No.
That ruined it for me.
It's the bit right at the end. So when Owen wins, he stands up and he's got a little white fleck of spit on the side. It looks like a bit of egg.
He's getting it. He's getting interviewed in the backstage area, like if you ever sort of walk through the O2 or anywhere like off the beaten track, like a white concrete corridor with pictures of basketball players all up and down.
This WrestleMania is obsessed with those shitty backstage areas, isn't it? I don't understand. You keep going back there every time. It's horrible. Stop taking me back there.
And he's got like a like a certain announcer, we know. And he's got a little bit of white egg, it's almost bad enough to sort of go. You know, when we talk about this quite a lot, why haven't the WWE Network just blurred it out?
Yeah,
like. They could spend $100,000 and it would be worth it on getting CGI-ing that. If you can get rid of Superman's moustache, you can get rid of a bit of white egg.
I have a look at that and I think, that is Owen Hart's greatest moment. It's the best moment in his wrestling career. And he must have always looked back at it afterwards and gone, it looks like egg.
It looks like I've really wanted some egg in between winning the match
I went back to do the interview. Why didn't they go, you've got to wipe that off, mate?
Well, he keeps looking off camera, and I keep thinking that someone's going, get rid.
And there's a part of me, I bet Vince McMahon just looked at that and just went, you see, I told
this
you.
This is exactly why we should have got the older brother.
We should have had Bruce Hart.
Bruce Hart would not have had egg on his mouth.
Wouldn't have an eggy mouth. I just want one thing, and that's for my super villain characters not to have eggy mouth.
You've got to want it, the egg. Right.
Echo Pro.
Once again, we've got to the end of a show which is featuring one match. But I think it's been a pleasant meandering, I'd say. Yep. We're in a studio that we don't usually use, and the sound isn't great. So what I'm going to do is we're going to wrap this up. We're going to try and find a better studio to do this in, because I sound like I've got egg in my mouth. Egg all over my mouth. But if you'd like to get in touch with the show, as always, we live for your correspondence. It's at WrestleMePod on Twitter.
Yep.
You can also get in touch via the emails as well, which is show@WrestleMePod.com.
Yeah, and just a quick thing. I noticed the other day, for some reason, our reviews on iTunes just shot up insanely.
Okay.
And we're really annoyingly close to 200 five-star reviews.
Yes.
So let me just say, if you haven't given a five-star review and you fancy doing it, again, if you haven't given a four or a three-star review, don't bother. Mm. But if you haven't given a five-star review and you fancy doing it, hey, then we'd be totally okay with that.
If Jerry the King Lawler's solicitors are listening, legal team are listening, feel free. Look, if you're going to fuck us over, just leave us some... Just let us go out well.
All I'm saying is to those lawyers, is that the hill you want to die on, is it? That the thing you want to do?
Is that the hotel room you want? Let's get out of here. It's been fun. We'll be back next week with more from WrestleMania 10. Wrestle me, Mark.
Wrestle me, Pete.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. and on my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.